A major dispute is brewing in the small business community. The Small Business Administration is taking a stand on the rule of two that is stressing out industry and agencies alike. In his weekly feature, The Reporter's Notebook, Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller writes about why SBA's new interpretation of small business contracting policy is causing concern, and he joins me now to discuss. Hi there, Jason.
Hey, Jared.
So we should probably do a quick refresher on exactly what the rule of two is. Very important concept throughout government, but not everybody's up to speed on it, I don't think. Go ahead.
Good idea. Now, the rule of two basically says that if during your market research phase, if an agency finds two or more small businesses that are qualified for certain solicitation, potential RFP, then they should set that solicitation aside. Now, that's been the standard really policy for full and open procurements, what they call, you know, not going through GSA schedules, not going through other IDIQ, you know, multiple award type contracts. So, but they've called it the rule of two because, again, two or more small businesses qualified. And what's happening here is we had a Supreme Court decision back in June, commonly known as Kingdomware, and the Supreme Court decided that the rule of two applies to agencies, specifically in this case, the Veterans Affairs Department, if VA had already met their small business contracting goals for that year. And then that is now having a trickle-down effect throughout the rest of government, that Supreme Court decision.
So why did SBA feel that that particular decision, which, as you said, applied only to VA, needed to impact SBA policy?
Well, what's interesting about this is SBA for years has been saying that the rule of two should apply to GSA schedules, other multiple award, what they call IDIQ contracts. So what SBA did was say, well, because the Supreme Court unanimously said 8-0 was the decision, said that under the VA case, a order or a task or delivery order is considered a contract. Therefore, thus, now, orders under GSA schedule also are considered contracts, and therefore the rule of two would apply to contracts. And that's standard policy. The rule of two has applied to all contracts. But previously, under the schedules programs, they were not considered quote-unquote contracts, and that was the rub here. They issued a memo October 20th. It was a very, very quiet memo. I don't think people very much knew about it, to their procurement center representatives, and said basically the Kingdomware decision should apply more broadly to like statutes for task and delivery orders under multiple award contracts, and thus they should apply to the GSA schedule. Jared, this is a major, major policy shift. SBA would tell you it's one that they've been really pushing for years, and this is one that GSA and others, if they would have talked, would have said, hey, this is not something that we have been on board with.
So, as you said, this memo quietly addressed only to the PCRs. I'm not sure if it went out to agency procurement officials or not, but what do we know about the extent to which it's been implemented out in agency land so far?
Well, we know, according to John Scirocco, who is SBA's head of contracting, he said, basically, we did brief OFPP, we did brief the General Services Administration, and we briefed the small business directors at the agencies, and, of course, the Chief Acquisition Officers Council, so they all knew it was coming. But GSA and OFPP said, well, let's slow down, let's take a broader look at this, let's really look into this, because if SBA's interpretation is correct, then maybe we need to change the Federal Regulatory Acquisition Council needs to get involved and change the FAR. Maybe we need a policy, a memo of sorts, not just something coming from SBA, because there are conflicting statutes, and I think that's the rub here, is you have laws that say the rule of two does not apply to necessarily small IDIQ multiple award type contracts like the schedules, and now you have a policy from GSA that says, well, actually it does. So that's the conflict we're seeing, and that's why it's really upsetting a lot of people in terms of, okay, well, what do we do? And I know some people in industry are questioning this, and I know some people in government are questioning it.
Yeah, in fact, you quote one procurement law expert who was able to point you toward one specific federal statute that he says Congress enacted with a specific intention of making sure that the rule of two would not necessarily have to apply to schedules.
Correct, and I think the concern here is that you have a policy that goes against statute, and really you're supposed to follow the statute first. That's the rules, right? Right. It's statute, so law, and then regulations, and then policy. So GSA made a policy change, but without any of the uphill climb. Now, John Shraka says, but wait a minute, Congress has signaled to us that they believe that the Rule 2 should apply, and that's why they went ahead and did it, because there was actually a hearing in the post-Kingdomware, after Kingdomware decision was made, there was a hearing that, for the Small Business Committee, and the Small Business Committee definitely pushed for this. On one hand, of course they would. That's their sure. Constituency. But on the other hand, if Congress seems that they interpret it this the way, maybe they're willing to change the law, but it hasn't been changed yet. And again, that goes back to why there are some people who are not quite on board yet. Again, Jared, I want to be clear here. OFPP and GSA did not say they disagreed, or they did not say that they are SBA was wrong sure. in any way. They just have asked, they wanted them to slow it down, and SBA felt like, hey, we're on more solid ground than ever before because the Supreme Court ruled 8-0 in the Kingdomware case.
All right. Well, let's hope it doesn't take another Supreme Court case to sort this all out. Meantime, just our last couple minutes here, I want to talk about another item in the notebook this week, which is you're writing about President-elect Donald Trump's nomination of Congressman Mick Mulvaney to be the new OMB director. What should we be watching for here?
You know, one of the most interesting things about the OMB director is that they definitely have the most political role in OMB. And therefore, you know, Mulvaney's relationships with members on Capitol Hill, understand the processes by which legislation gets passed. In this case, the main one for him will be the budget. That's a great sign for him. On the other hand, Mulvaney comes in with a big reputation. He was a co-founder of the House Freedom Caucus. He co-authored a bill called Cut, Cap, and Balance Act, which tried to address unneeded federal spending and create a balanced budget amendment to the Constitution. So he definitely has a point of view that maybe is a little bit different from former OMB directors we've seen over the last 8 years. Now, all that being said, I looked back and said, okay, let me look at the OMB directors since 2000, basically the Bush administration and the Obama administration. And Jared, mm-hmm. on average, they only last for 21 months. So he doesn't have a lot of time and doesn't have a lot of his influence on the budget planning process will not be that great unless he stays longer, obviously, than the average. But again, that's a tough job. And what we've seen over the last 16 years is about 21 months on average.
All right. Federal News Radio's Jason Miller talking about this week's edition of Inside the Reporter's Notebook with us. Thank you, Jason.
Always a pleasure.